When people think of Visa, they think of credit cards. But Visa is so much more than just a credit card company. It's a technology and innovation company that's making digital payments a reality for consumers, businesses, banks, and governments all around the world. At Visa, they have a simple and unwavering vision that can be traced back to their beginnings in 1958 to be the best way to pay and be paid for everyone, everywhere. They know that every Visa transaction is a promise. Whether you're at a food truck, outside the stadium, or paying your fantasy league dues online, Visa wants to provide you with the most secure and easy payment experience possible. All you have to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Hey y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We begin with two huge games yesterday and two dominant teams moving to 10-1. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers throttled Aaron Rodgers and the Packers 37-8 on Sunday Night Football.
Lose him.
The San Francisco defense sacked Rodgers five times and held him to just 104 passing yards.
Yuck.
Meanwhile, Bill Belichick's New England Patriots choked out the Dallas Cowboys 13-9, holding Jerry Jones' boys without a touchdown. Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore placed Cowboys receiver Amari Cooper in witness protection. Cooper did not catch a pass. All right, the question today is, who was more impressive Sunday, the 49ers or the Patriots? I'm going with New England. And I say that knowing that questionable late-game officiating benefited the Patriots. But the tripping call isn't the reason the Patriots beat the Cowboys. The Patriots won because their defense didn't allow a touchdown. The Patriots won because their special teams dominated the Cowboys, including blocking a punt that set up New England for its lone touchdown. The Patriots won because Tom Brady outplayed Dak Prescott because Brady made enough important plays in sloppy weather conditions to beat a team with more talent. Why am I more impressed with the Patriots than the 49ers? The Patriots were shorthanded at receiver. Mohamed Sanu and Philip Dorsett didn't play. Brady still found a way. Brady played at a high level. He beat Father Time yesterday. His stat line is unimpressive. He completed less than half of his passes and just for 190 yards. You can't judge him by the stat sheet. Only the eye test could judge Brady yesterday. That was his best performance of the season. His touchdown pass to rookie N'Keal Harry was vintage Brady, a back throw to show in the perfect place. But this was a team victory. Stephon Gilmore belongs in the MVP conversation. By the numbers, New England's defense has a chance to be the best of all time. How can the best player on the best defense not be in the top five of the MVP race? Going into Sunday, Dallas allegedly had the best offense in the league by yards. The Cowboys were allegedly led by a quarterback in the MVP conversation. Gilmore picked off Dak Prescott and blanked Amari Cooper. Finally, I have to give credit to Bill Belichick. He dismantled a more talented team. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers did not do that. They beat up an overvalued Packers squad. Was I impressed with San Francisco? Absolutely. They beat a good team by 29 points. Jimmy Garoppolo was smart with the football. I have my doubts about his decision-making. He erased some of them last night. Green Bay pressured him all night. He protected the football. However, I left Sunday more impressed by the Patriots. All right, joining the desk now, Fox Sports NFL analyst James Harrison, a future Hall of Famer, and LeVar Arrington. Marcellus.
Yes, sir.
I'll start with you. More impressed by the Patriots or the 49ers yesterday?
I was more impressed by the 49ers. And I don't think there's a definitive answer to this, but I'm still going to say this with my chest like there is. I'm going to highlight the biggest difference in yesterday ball games that shows you that the 49ers were more impressive. The conditions. Adverse conditions. We've all been there. We know they say that's the great equalizer because the least talented team has the advantage in adverse conditions because conditions are at play. Think about that. When the conditions are at play, all of a sudden, I played in Buffalo, so trust me, I know some conditions. When your mind and energy can't be transferred and directed just at your opponent, the other color, but also mentally, physically, in leverage, in situations, how to play through the conditions, That's not a neutral playing field. What we saw in San Francisco, nice conditions, a team coming in with an MVP candidate, a team coming in with a good offense, some say great at times, and getting neutralized to the tune of that same quarterback had 104 yards. Worse than that, 0-13 on third downs. Aaron Rodgers went 0-13 on third down. So you look at the situations, not a lot can be told about the Dallas Cowboys or New England Patriots in a head-to-head matchup playing through those conditions, but I learned a lot from the 49ers.
I'm with you on the 49ers, and the only reason I don't go with the Patriots is because I'm used to seeing the Patriots grind out games in bad conditions. I'm used to seeing Tom Brady go out there and throw a brick and make it look like a feather. I'm used to seeing Julian Edelman pull in catches and make plays. I'm used to seeing Belichick outcoach the other coach. The reason I'm more impressed with the 49ers is because they just really just went out there and dominated and dogged a team and made them give up any hope or reason that they had to even still stay out there. I think when you go 0-13 as a quarterback, as Aaron Rodgers, barely getting over 100 yards,
Lord.
Even when their first game, it was, 10-3 against Chicago, and they ended up winning that game. They still had 10 points. He still had almost, I believe it was 200 yards. He barely broke 100 this game. And you're talking about late in the season when you should be playing your best ball as a team. And they did not do that. And the 49ers went in there and imposed their will.
I hate to agree with y'all and make it a third person, but they throttled Aaron Rodgers, and they throttled the Green Bay Packers. They throttled them on offense. They throttled them on defense. Mm-hmm. And they throttled them in special teams. They won in every phase. Garoppolo, thou loosed him. And that thou loosing was a whooping. That was not a thou loosing and he threw the ball away or anything like that. He played very well. The play calling was outstanding. Kyle Shanahan's play calling, it was as masterful as I've seen in the game. It was easily by far the best play calling of Sunday. And the defense, it goes without saying, they were very dominant. And to do what they did against Aaron Rodgers was, to me, I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, once-in-a-career thing you see happen to that type of a talent.
Okay, I can't really push back against y'all. Right. Y'all have made great points, and there's certainly truth on your side. But no one comes out of that game like, man, the Packers were a little overvalued. They're not as good as their record said. That's where I marked them. Because, and again, what San Francisco did was amazing. But I really left there like, man, Green Bay's not what I thought
they were. They basically beat them boys by almost 40 points. The 8 points they did get, that was just garbage. I don't care how far you overvalue them unless you're saying they're at the value of below Cincinnati. It's no way as a team with a record that you come in and get beat that bad.
And I'm thinking if I run with that logic, okay, they're not as good as their record is, but the Cowboys weren't as bad as their record was. So I'm looking at the Cowboys like they should be better than that, but they are more talented than what that record says. 49ers beat a better team. As Bill Parcells says, you are what your record says you are. But also, if you look at Aaron Rodgers, statistically, career worst game? Like, Aaron Rodgers had his worst game ever against who? 49ers. Is that by coincidence or correlation?
That was because they caused that to occur.
So yeah. Dak Prescott, with some inflated numbers by those who are critics of his game, say, Dak Prescott's not the best thrower in our game, even though the numbers suggested he was. Aaron Rodgers, with his resume, no one's going to ever say that he's second fiddle. And yesterday, he looked JV out there.
Dak Prescott outperformed Tom Brady.
Oh, stop it.
Dak Prescott outperformed Tom Brady.
No, yes, stop
he
did. It.
He was consistently inconsistent. That's why he got a pick. He threw it late, and he threw it out of place.
No. Ooh. They were very inconsistent on catching the balls, more specifically Jason Witten. There were so many balls that those guys let Dak Prescott down.
Conditions.
In making those. You got to make the catches when the ball is there. They were drops. And when I looked at what Prescott did, and especially in the second half of the game, I can agree that he did not play very well in the first half of that game. But the second half of that game, Dak Prescott almost single-handedly was the reason why they were able to win that
game. Listen, I do think Dak played well in the second half. I think Tom Brady played a complete football game. The stats don't say it. You talk about the guy that had some drop balls. It was Tom Brady. It was N'Keal Harry. He only caught he threw him four times. He only caught one of them. And a couple of them were right on the money. Tom Brady out there with JV wide receivers or whatever, and to accomplish what he did, it blew my mind. I thought that was the best game I've seen from Tom Brady this year. I don't want to downgrade Dak, because I did. In the second half, I thought he played winning football, and Jason Garrett is the biggest scapegoat coming out of there. But I love taking pot shots at Brady and Belichick, but not today. That was very impressive. All right, let's move to this. You all agree 49ers more impressive.
Yeah.
But who actually is the better team, Patriots or 49ers?
Oh, I got the same answer. It's the 49ers. You can just look at them. How do you want to attack them? You still getting checks, James? I want to know how we're going to answer this right now.
That was
get
loud. Some distance over here.
Like, you got bubble guts. Let me say this. I'm looking at the 49ers like, how do I attack them? If Jimmy G is on his game, which Jimmy G of late has been on his game, how do you attack this team? This team is number two in scoring offense and number one in total defense. And total defense right there, pass defense. So when you start to look at them, you say, everything coming out of New England is issues in the offense passing game. You're not hearing that out of the 49ers, despite them having injuries. They're actually ascending where you're looking at the Patriots and not seeing the same thing. So I'm looking at it like the 49ers because they're just a well-rounded team.
I'm obviously going to say the Patriots because that's obviously what it is. You're talking about teams that have great defenses, 1-2,
yeah.
1-2. And you have two quarterbacks that are good quarterbacks. You have everything else that you have to go up against that defense. And the thing that puts the Patriots on top is a guy called Bill Belichick. He's going to come in there with a game plan when they play that is going to suffice and going to defeat.
Like he did against 49ers. Baltimore, right?
Listen. Yeah. Let's bet it if it happens again.
I ain't got to bet. You already saw it. What you mean bet? I'm going to bet you forward when I already saw it.
He got a chance to see it. Once you get a chance to see it and you sit back, you watch the tape, you get an opportunity to see your players actually against what it is that you got to go up against again. It's going to be different.
Well, Belichick,
but back to what I was talking about.
He's 3-6 in repeat matchups in the same year. So what you going to say about that? 3-6. Not winner.
I'll still put my money down on him. I can't go against the GOAT until the GOAT dead. Okay? But, I'm going with the 49ers I'm going with the Patriots because the coaching is what's going to take them over the top. Mm-hmm. You have the players. You have a corner that is playing lights out. This man did not get a catch. Now, I put him over there, and I take away one of Jimmy's targets. Mm. Whatever that target is, I'm just scratch him off.
He gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
I'm going to let McCourty and them do whatever they go do with the other one, and I'm going to have this defense go ahead and just get fired up and peel their ears back.
Mm. Sounds good.
It does sound good. And as much as I would love to go with James Harris, Debo Harrison right there, I got to go with the Niners. And the reason why I'm going with the Niners is, historically speaking, the Achilles heel of Bill Belichick, the GOAT, and that Tom Brady-led offense is what, Debo?
A defensive line.
And you know this to be true, and
dude,
that's the only reason.
Tom Brady has been playing shorthanded with an offensive line his whole career. How do you neutralize a great defensive line? Get it out of his hand fast. That's what he does.
I left the team before they got that Super Bowl, but I'll tell you how you neutralize a Tom Brady, Bill Belichick-led team. A D-line. All right? That D-line with O.C. Umanyora, Justin Tuck, and Mike Strahan. Matthias Kiwanuka, they dismantled them in those Super Bowl games. I look at this 49ers.
Dismantle's a strong word. Those games were close.
They dismantled.
Dismantle mean it would be like a blowout.
No, on offense.
That means they weren't in rhythm, therefore it was a close game because
that's
Tom
correct.
Brady wasn't himself.
That's they correct. They did not blow them out upon the way New England's defense played against the Giants' offense.
There you go.
But when you classically, historically look at what has been the hill for this New England Patriots team, it has always been a stout defensive front.
Stout defensive
that
line
can
put
get,
pressure up the
so that quick, time, that talking about that he's going to get rid of the ball and all that stuff, let me tell you something. If they can do what they did to Aaron Rodgers last night, I'm sorry.
Man.
Anybody who lines up against them is going to have some trouble outside of Lamar Jackson.
Okay, well, we keep talking about Aaron Rodgers, and that's appropriate. but Matt LaFleur is the actual coach of the Packers. Mm-hmm. And if you think Bill Belichick, he's not Matt LaFleur. He's the greatest of all time. And so until I see different, I got to go with the Patriots. They out there shorthanded without Sanu, without Dorsett. They've been struggling to try to figure it out all year. And this guy, Belichick, every time comes up with an answer. And I think until we get to December and some of these guys get healthy, I don't want to just – I'm going to assume the Patriots are going to continue to get better, whereas what we may have seen from the 49ers last night – is peak.
Just super quickly, what we have not mentioned is Richard Sherman. I know we're talking about elite this, elite that going on in New England, but did y'all see the way Richard Sherman played?
Yeah, I saw the penalties he got.
I think Richard Sherman is still playing at an elite level. I think the spirit of Legion of Boom is actually in San Francisco
right now. Yeah, I love the way
he
taped up for Jimmy G. Wouldn't do it for Russ. But go ahead.
Way to hijack the segment. All I got to say is, to stay on topic, is – if you have to bet on the jockey or bet on the horse, you got to bet on the horse.
Oh.
However, in the New England situation, we always bet on the jockey. But this year, he ain't got the horses. Oof. Think about this. This team since week 9 is 23rd in scoring and 23rd in offense. So we always say, you know, New England's going to come in and they're going to have a great defense, going to play special teams, hitting yardage, and then they're going to have an adequate or more than adequate offense, even though it's undermanned. This year, they don't have the weapons. And then if you go against
weapons, but they 10-1.
Yeah. And you know what that one was?
Yeah.
That's what the level they're going to see.
What's their record?
Same.
8-2.
Thank you.
They got two. Baltimore's 8-2. I'm talking about the 49ers.
Browns.
The one they're going to see.
Oh.
The team they're going to see. I'm trying to stay on topic, but I love y'all. The team that's going to end up, and that could be the Super Bowl. It has to be the Super Bowl. We get it. But if it's not that, then it's a Baltimore with a less record, but who obviously beat them. And beat them easily. That wasn't a close contest. And you think that they're going to correct all their ills. How are they going to correct their ills of late? Even Tom Brady is showing the frustration.
Kyler Murray gave them problems the week before.
But again, I like the horse racing analogy, but there are some horses that are closers that are come from behind. And that's been the Patriots' deal is, you know, down the stretch they come, and here they come, boom, 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 and the next thing you know,
hit them.
And look, trust me, I hope they get their brains beat in, but I'm not going to bet on it.
Hey guys, this is Jason Whitlock from Speak for Yourself. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save enough money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for the future or visit pacificlife.com.
Joining us now is Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick. Time now for a big story presented by Hyundai. All right, let's return to New England, where the Cowboys failed to score a touchdown for the first time this season. Dallas looked sloppy on offense, going just 2 of 13 on third down, and on special teams getting a punt blocked in the first quarter, which led to the game's only touchdown from Tom Brady. After it was over, Jerry Jones did not hold back on his team and head coach Jason Garrett.
To me, special teams is 100% coaching. It's 100% coaching. How strategy, it's having players ready. And that's why today, give Belichick, give them credit. They did a great job on special teams, and that was really probably the determining difference. But special teams is nothing but coaching.
Will Jerry Jones's criticism help or hurt the team?
Hurt. Absolutely hurt. And it makes no sense. You're on a short week. You're going to play the Buffalo Bills.
Who are playing pretty well.
They good,
they
y'all.
Good.
Like, people out there thinking, Buffalo Bills, all right.
They good.
You're on a short week. He's your coach. Why undermine his authority? He's your coach. That check will cash in full. So let him coach in full. The standings didn't change after the loss to New England. If you lose to New England, yeah, we kind of get it. They've only lost one game this year. And then you have the guy out there already on one leg. He's a lame duck coach. Now you're going to step on his toes and say, go out there and try to lead this team. And Jerry Jones, you know a lot of football. Maybe more than me. Who knows? Let's go play some Jeopardy on football. But one thing I do know, special teams is more than just coaching. Boy, it's some effort. It's some energy. It's some schematic things that can give you an advantage. I play special teams, so do not go out there and try and put this entire script on Jason Garrett, because really you're just trying to set him up for firing later in the season. Wait to that appropriate time. Handle your business after the season, after you see what this team does in the playoffs.
I think it's going to help the team. I think it's going to help him because it's an underlining message in the statement that he just made. And to his point, you know, when you say something like that, you pretty much talking to the players and the coaches. Like, you can look at the entire team and see that it's certain things they could have done better. But, you know, obviously on the special teams, you know, that's just probably a lapse in judgment on somebody's behalf. But that doesn't mean, you know, you criticize the team. But I think it's going to help these guys because when you look at it, you know, now you know the microscope is on everybody, including the coach, including the players, because everybody's subject to be, you know, released or fired or whatever it may be. You know, I think it came at a bad time. But, you know, everyone expected the Dallas Cowboys to win that game yesterday based on the talent and the skill that they had.
Did they?
And versus the New England Patriots. I did.
I picked them.
I did. I mean, I picked
thought,
the Patriots.
You know, I thought they could win that game yesterday. They didn't.
I thought
it was for various reasons.
Yeah, I agree with Mike. I think it helps. And I don't think it hurts for certain, so I'll choose help. But Jerry Jones, I mean, think about how many sound bites do we get out of Sundays from owners of teams? Name them. Let's count them.
We got one.
Okay, there you go.
There
right,
it is.
Right?
One. That's it.
We expect to hear things from Jerry Jones. And I think the team expects to hear things from Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is no different than the native people that walk around with the red garb on and the Lions just keep walking. They're a part of the landscape. They're not looking at them as a part of their meal list. They're not going to attack them. They're used to that, them being around. Their presence does not bother them. And I think that that's Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones can say what he wants to say, but it ultimately comes down to who Jerry Jones is paying, who Jerry Jones is hiring, and who Jerry Jones is firing. So I think it helps because it almost seems as though it's more of a respect. I like my offense. I like my defense. We did all right.
Do better.
Special teams costed us. I support my offense and my defense, and my special teams let me down. So I don't think it hurts at all.
Oh, I think it hurts. Yeah. I think it hurts because you've given all the players an excuse. Oh, it ain't on y'all. It's on Jason Garrett. And players and individuals and human beings run with excuses. We all do. And so Jerry to me, and I love Jerry Jones, he's great, but talking loud, saying nothing is what this is, because if I'm a player sitting in that locker room and my owner has just said, hey, the coach blew this game, I'm, yeah, he did. and then my next thought after, yeah, he did, is, how come they ain't fired him? If he's this bad. And so, again, I wouldn't do any talking. This is what blew my mind. If I was Jerry, I would have held my powder and I would have brought Jason Garrett into my office today and said, hey, bro, we're going a different direction. Chris Richard or Rob Marinelli, whoever else, Kellen Moore, they're going to run this thing for the rest of the time. You're out of here. I would have done that. Look, the people say, oh, you can't fire a coach midseason. It does nothing. Cleveland Browns did and improved the second half of the season last year. So I just feel like Jerry has given his players an excuse without taking any tangible action.
But who are those players?
All of them.
Tell me who those players are.
All of them.
All those players.
All of them. From Dak Prescott on down, they have an excuse.
How can you have an excuse when you're getting a paycheck? See, if this was
paycheck makes it easier.
I think it makes it harder because
do both.
Here's the realness of this thing.
Let's go.
If you lose the coach that you got that paycheck with,
lose everything.
Now that new coach is coming in. They're going to find
That's
a
happening.
Way. They're going to find a way to mitigate the loss on what the investment was on you and you and me and you. So if you lose that coach, you've lost a lot of leverage. To jump out there and say, oh, we can use him as an excuse. We lost the game because of the head coach, because of the special teams coach. Why isn't he fired? You still got to do your job. Some of those penalties, Collins, was it Collins that got those holding calls and the different calls that cost them?
Tyron Smith got two.
There were drops. There were penalties. Blame it. There was 100 different things that he could have blamed why they lost that game on, other than special.
But
they better not use it as an excuse.
Here's the problem with the criticism, as Whitlock was talking about. It's to stoke a fire. It's to create a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
But the only way it does that, if it's appropriate with the criticism. Here's the thing. We all been in the locker room before. And if our owner takes a shot at the coach when it really should have been for us, guess what we sit there and say? One, he don't even know what he's talking about.
Right.
Two, damn, where's our leadership? And three, I'm good. So I have just got reinforced behavior for whatever I was doing, the status quo.
But he's always done that, though.
But guess what? That's in part why they don't know which way is up as a franchise of late, because this is not how you should create a climate going into a short week, a game against a good team, when, let's not exaggerate what the Dallas Cowboys are. Two of their games against their greatest opponents, let's say New Orleans, let's say the Patriots, were on the road losses by 4 points and 2 points. Can we stop acting like this team can't still achieve their ultimate goal? But Jerry Jones makes it seem like they can't.
Oh, they can't.
No.
When Jerry Jones speak up sometimes, and you're talking about a guy who knows football, I think, to a certain mm-hmm. degree. You know, won multiple Super Bowls years on end. When he speak, he's speaking to the coaches, he's speaking to the team, and sometimes every 5 or 6 weeks when he get on camera and he say what he needs to say, it makes this team better. So maybe it's a little cry for help. You know, that could be...
Sometimes it does help, but I just... If I'm Jason Garrett and I got to go stand in front of the team today, tomorrow, the next day, if I'm the team, I'm sitting there going, Jerry already done told us. This guy's not good enough. Mm-hmm. He's only going to be here for five more weeks.
Right.
And he's out of here. And again, everybody knows how you act when
you got substitute teacher.
Substitute teacher.
Oh, it's a party.
We got a sub! Yes! And you just look around.
No words.
Six and five. Today. You look at the 49ers and you start doing the math like, man, even if we get in the playoffs, we ain't gonna do nothing. Mm. And so everybody starts plotting their vacations.
Real talk.
It's
been there.
Atlanta Airport.
Yes.
Me too.
Michael Vick is back. We're joined now by Fox Sports NFL analyst TJ Houshmandzadeh. All right, let's go to Philadelphia, where there were rumors all weekend that Eagles receiver Nelson Aguilar has a burner account on Twitter that he was using to call out his quarterback, Carson Wentz. The account has since been deleted, and Aguilar denies the accusation. Either way, Wentz was bad again on Sunday, throwing two interceptions and losing two fumbles as Philly fell to Seattle 17-9. All right, the question here is, and I believe the burner account, I believe you personally believe that it was Nelson Aguilar.
Oh, gee, Nelson.
Will Carson Wentz fail in Philadelphia?
Woo! Man, we summing this up, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say he would fail, and I'm going to tell you why. One, in the last 2 years, he played 11 games last year, 5-6. This year, week 11, 5-6. It's not a winning record. Two, football is a great game of skill, but a greater game of will. By the very nature, essence of the game, you are trying to move people against their own will. And then the people who are supposed to help you are not trying to help you as much as possible, as fully as possible. Teammates not pulling in the same direction as you. Case in point. Nick Foles gets in there two different times and the team looks completely different in complexion both times. That's because football's militaristic. The key elements of football, trust and communication, to the point where we don't even have to say anything and we know what's up. Nonverbal communication. He doesn't have that. So what's going to end up occurring, because all these stories find a convenient place to land somehow, some way, with Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles, they're going to erode whatever talent, whatever numbers you put up, because guys are not pulling in the same direction. So ultimately, if you gun the head, say, what do I think? I think this situation is not going to go as advertised.
Marcellus, I'm going to have to agree with what you just said. And in a sense of, you know, he will fail in Philadelphia. I think, you know, just the bar has been set so high, you know, by Nick Foles. And regardless of when he came in, you know, he did what he did. They won the Super Bowl. Now, you know, it's a ceiling that's been set. And along with Carson Wentz's character, which sometimes has been questioned, you know, by his team, by his teammates, you know, and the public, you know, it just makes it difficult for him. So I think he's just fighting an uphill battle continuously, week in and week out, to win, to be a good teammate. You know, it's a lot. You know, that takes a lot on you. It takes a lot from you to be able to handle that responsibility. You know, on top of that, man, you got a guy who is probably going to go down as one of the greats of all time in Philadelphia history, and Nick Foles, and you got to chase that. That's difficult. Mm.
It really depends on what is our definition of failure. If winning a Super Bowl and doing those things, 100% he's going to fail.
No, I think he's going to get – I think the question is, like, are they going to move off him?
Well, that's going to be at least a few years.
Yeah.
It happens all the time with quarterbacks. When they don't play well, it's they don't have enough guys around them. And that's all they're – oh, they don't have enough speed. They're slow. They're the slowest team in the league. If I recall, same offensive weapons Nick Foles won a Super Bowl with. Mm. And so they're going to go get Carson Wentz weapons – and say he performs well. They're going to give Carson Wentz all the credit. They're not going to talk about these weapons that we gave him because he was having a hard time succeeding with what he has now. It's what Vic just said is the biggest thing. When you're a quarterback of the team and you got people supposedly criticizing, you got people, as we talked about early in the year, letting you get sacked because they just don't want to play with you and for you,
yeah.
That's a problem.
Yep.
It shouldn't be that hard to be a good person. It shouldn't be that hard to be likable when You're the quarterback of a team. And so in that essence, he's going to fail because guys don't want to go to war with him. They don't want to fight with him. And now in situations like this, they really going to point the finger at him because you got the big contract and this is what you giving us? You don't deserve this.
I think he's a victim of circumstance completely. I think the narrative on him, I think, is inaccurate. I don't think he's all that awkward or that difficult to deal with as a teammate. I just think Nick Foles won a Super Bowl with him. They really like Nick Foles. This dude's not Nick Foles. And it's just, it's like a domino effect that's rolling downhill. And now he's in a situation where back-to-back years, they're going to underachieve. And what the organization is going to have to sit around this offseason is like, how do we fix this? And the solution is, we got to go all in on Carson Wentz. And that means we may have to clean out some guys that aren't on board with him, like Seattle did with the Legion of Boom. Mm. Like Baltimore, in a different sense, went all in on Lamar Jackson. The problem for Carson Wentz in Philadelphia is, how confident would you be as the organization right now after these back-to-back two seasons? Like, we're going to go all in on Carson
right.
Wentz?
Yeah.
To me, Russell Wilson, that's easy.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, based off what you saw his rookie season, that's easy.
Yeah.
This is a really hard choice right now.
It's not that hard, and I think it's not that simple either. It's not hard, and it's complex in the same breath. One, if someone could look at you as a player and say, man, you've been injured. Man, you top five in payment and salary, but none of your numbers are top 10, and most of them are in the 20s. And we did it all without you. And now everybody on this team likes your personality. And we don't know what intangibles you present that makes us greater than the sum of our parts. What's going to happen is what you said, but the reason it's going to happen is not what you said. They're just going to look at this and say simply, we've already seen evidence, and not once, our eyes weren't lying to us, twice, where this team goes from here to boom, because of one guy. Are we going to really destroy this entire roster for one guy? Let's find a guy who has that makeup, that trust, that can communicate to others well enough to get more out of them. So this is really going back to what purists see in the sport, not just how big, fast, strong you are, kind of like Belichick. Belichick look at you and be like, I don't care about all them tapes and measurements and speed. What can you do, and what can I extract from you that's going to be contagious to others?
What about
that's
the money?
That's what Parson doesn't have.
What about the money they got invested in? That's where
yeah,
I...
Yeah, that dead cap.
They have to make it.
They got to make it.
He's going to be there at least 3 more years. And so what
I don't know about three more years.
He has to.
You don't think next year is a make or break year? That's what I consider. That's
Doug
what I'm talking
Peterson
about.
Doug Peterson in the offseason is going to have a team meeting and say, listen, Carson Wentz is our quarterback. Y'all gonna stand behind Carson Wentz, and if you not, you're not gonna be here. He's gonna
hey,
have to do that.
Coach.
He gotta do that
on us.
It's gonna
you have to
do
that.
You're gonna say it, but that don't mean we're gonna believe it.
How many guys on the team can really just say,
no, they're gonna show it through their play. I'm not blocking for a dude.
And they'll get rid of him.
That means it's gonna be a failing situation.
They're gonna have to surround him with weapons and leave no excuses at the end of the day. Like Carson, we gave you a running back, we gave you two receivers, we gave you a defense which is almost already put in place. Next year, I think, is the breaking point. I think it's a make or break year for him next year. He'll have everything he needs, but he has to finish strong this year without a doubt. To even have them, to make them wanna even go out and put the pieces together for him next year. And then we'll have to just wait and see. But I think one more season.
He just signed his contract extension.
No, I know.
Probably a lot of guaranteed money.
A ton of
I'm looking at it right now.
He's fine.
Carson Wentz ain't going nowhere, y'all.
Gotta make it work.
Dak having $70 million this year, and it just keeps going down to $15 million. You going to take a $15 million hit in 2023?
No.
2023.
What I think happens with him.
Somebody trades for him?
Yeah, someone.
Okay.
He's going to go to Philly next year with, and they, like Mike said, they're going to take all the excuses away. And then if it, and I'm predicting it's not going to go well. That's why I'm saying, I think he's going to fail in Philadelphia. They're going to get next year, and then they're going to move him because his talent says someone should
absolutely
take him.
Yeah.
And he should play some
fresh start.
And there'll be a fresh start deal. Yeah. Someone will trade for him. They'll find a trade partner. But I do believe next year will be make or break, and I think he's going to get broke.
Nick Foles, the man.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. James Harris and LeVar Arrington are back. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, homeboy, take it away.
Yeah, man, I can't wait to hear from you old folks here.
Here we go.
Social media was on fire yesterday after Redskins QB Dwayne Haskins was seen on the sideline posing for a selfie with a fan while his offense was on the field with backup QB Case Keenum taking a snap in the victory formation so they can run out the clock. After the game, Haskins didn't seem too concerned about the optics. Take a listen.
I was so hyped. I think I broke a water bottle. I look up and we're in victory. I said, I thought the game was over with already. But I get it next time.
All right, Whitlock. I already know what you're going to say about us millennials taking selfies. Yes. Was this really a big deal?
Yes.
Come on, Whit.
Yes.
Why?
It's unprofessional, man. It's unprofessional. I mean, what more is there to it?
I hate to be old with you, Whit. And I ain't that old, but I'm going to go with you on this one. Let me say this. The streets have whispered about one Dwayne Haskins, and I won't just go street level, even though they've said Dwayne Haskins is back at the crib and Dwayne Haskins is last in, first out. But I didn't jump with that because I know I have intel, but I wait for you to give me something so I could go in outtail. And now I'm about to tell it all. Then we know last year being drafted, our own Urban Meyer said, not sure about him in terms of leadership just yet. Only 1 year under his belt, not ready. You combine those conversations, and then you have these as optics right here. And let me tell you what's bad, what's damning about this. Your brand. I came into the league, and the next year, Peyton Manning came in the league, and I saw no one take better control of their brand in terms of being a football player than Peyton Manning. I ain't talking off the field. I'm talking about on the field. First in, last out. Smartest guy in the room. Always putting in work. So even when Peyton Manning faced adversity, which was 28 interceptions his first year, which was losing to the Patriots and coming up short in some big games, you always bet on Peyton Manning because the narrative, the brand said he's going to work for it. You know what this does for your brand? It tells everybody, make an assumption, this guy ain't all in. He doesn't want it. So what happens is a guy right now who's had 3 starts, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, and a 70 passer rating, who doesn't have enough hay in the barn yet to have anything to battle this optic, this image, doesn't have a good brand, and it's going to come back to haunt you, young man.
I don't think it's a big deal because of the situation altogether, but at the same time,
Yeah, I believe he has to mature. He has to look at the situation, understand everything that's going on. And it goes back to, you know, some of the things that Witt says. It's the kids nowadays. They want the likes. They want the followers. And that was just an opportunity for him to be like, this is me. This is what I did. Let me get a selfie with the people. And you got your first win, and y'all got your second win as a team. I mean, yeah, it's something to get excited about, but to actually lose where you're at and entirely of where the game is, and to miss an actual snap that should be like a celebratory thing for you because you did just get your first win, it's very unprofessional. And I hope that this is something that he can learn from it,
right,
and not happen again.
Immature, unprofessional, I'll agree with all those things. But is it a big deal in the context of what the Washington Redskins represent at this moment in time?
Here we go again.
Former Redskin LeVar Arrington.
Redskins hater. Go ahead.
I am not a Redskins hater.
Go ahead, man.
I am not a Redskins hater.
And I'm sorry.
Hatter. What do y'all call it? Hater. H-T-T-R, what's that?
I am not a Redskins hater.
What's your point?
Tell me what's going on.
My point is that these fans have been needing to have some type of relief. He took a moment to take a selfie. And we done made him not a leader. He's not a professional. He can't lead the team.
You can't wait one more moment to take
a selfie? Brand is going, listen, let Case go get that kneel down and take the victory snap. They're not running, unlike what Pittsburgh did when they ran a running back missile screen on the last play of the game. Let that man get a little bit of swag time.
Let me tell you why you're wrong. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
I think he looks very nice.
I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. Seriously, because he just gave you insight into what he's actually thinking about. Is he thinking about him and his teammates and the 47 guys that did that?
He's thinking about he's thinking about
the other
people.
That
was the 12th man that was a part of their victory. Yeah, okay. He won the game.
That ain't Seattle.
He won the game. Y'all do know that.
Everybody else except for Seattle. Darnell's got his red challenge light.
I sure hope so.
Popo. He wasn't just taking a selfie with the fan. If you saw on the sideline, he's hugging his coach. He's shaking up with his teammate. This was a whole celebration. James, you brought it up. This was his first win under his belt. Their second win of the whole year. They ain't going to the playoffs. This is the best. The best is gonna get. Let the young man celebrate.
Can I object, Yana?
You could have celebrated.
Here's the thing, and look, I'm going to tell on myself just to let you guys know that I'm not up here trying to preach. I'm just trying to talk from experience. We used to have Saturday substitutions. Y'all remember that, right?
Yeah.
And let's be real. It's hard to focus on Saturday walkthrough substitutions, but it was telling. It was a snapshot as a collective. Y'all not focus for this task at hand.
Right.
Every time when they were saying, first team offense, first team defense, kickoff, somebody got to come running off way late.
Yeah.
And coach be like, damn it. I swear if we did a correlation between how we did in just mental substitutions versus the actual game,
but
it was
game
telling.
Is
your
over.
Mind is not into
it. No, it wasn't. It
the
had a victory
game was
for a
over.
You had like he balled out, though.
Yeah,
you
had 2 seconds, man.
You had like he balled out. 2 seconds. You can't wait.
You can't wait 2 seconds.
He said the man said he didn't. He lost track.
Exactly. I'm not paying attention to what's going on around me. Everything else is less important than me.
Woo.
I hope he learns from the moment of missing going to victory.
I'm not saying it's a big deal.
But to condemn him and say, oh,
I'm not
how immature. He can't be a successful pro.
You will
leave that young man alone.
Bill Cowan Haskins.
You would have been sitting on the sideline for the next game.
You do your thing, Mr. Haskins. You gave them a victory, and those fans haven't
had an opportunity. Them other 46 guys gave him the victory. Haskins was along for the ride. All right, Darnell, did anyone win the Super 6?
Unbelievable.
No jackpot winner. But huge shout out to the two fans who walked away 5 G's Richards this weekend.
Oh. Did they take a selfie with Haskins?
They probably did. But guys, be sure you download the Fox Sports Super 6 and play for free for your chance to win.
Whitlock and Wiley joined once again by LeVar Arrington and TJ Husmanzadeh. Let's return to the NFL where the refs took center stage again on Sunday in the Raiders-Jets game. This was called roughing the passer. A pretty basic sack with a ridiculous flag being thrown. Mm. And John Gruden losing his mind. In the Cowboys-Patriots game, this tripping penalty came at the worst time possible and helped prevent the Cowboys from going down the field and perhaps beating the Patriots. But most notably, the Panthers challenged a non-call for defensive pass interference against the Saints, the very team who crusaded for this challenge. And the Panthers got the call, something that Sean Payton was not happy about.
Yeah, look, It wasn't our best game, and by far it wasn't their best game, and quite honestly, it wasn't New York's best game, and so it is what it is. Look, I'm not going to get into it on the replay relative to the fouls, the change that took place in the offseason, but sitting in on every one of those meetings, I don't know that it's exactly what we discussed, you know, where we are today with it. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not, but we've got to be able to adjust to it.
All right, the only thing I liked about this is that the replay PI review actually hurt the Saints. I love that. Other than that, though, there's just way too much conversation about the refs, man. Yeah. We have to fix this. And the question is, can the officiating be fixed?
No, because we don't have a system in replacement that's going to be better, that's not going to have the same conversation, but in a different tone, different direction, and different issues. That's going to come if we get rid of this system. So, no. And we tore a lot of meat off the bone last week talking about this. We are trying to replace human error with overlapping more human error, but just doing it slower and calling it replay. Replay is so bad right now that when they actually get it right, we're still upset that replay got it right. They want replay to be wrong even when they're right. And that's crazy because this is actually a good call. Like, overturning this one?
No. I'm with
you. What? For me?
That's a good call.
Thank you. If I'm in New York,
he's a wide receiver.
And I'm a DN. And guess what? For me, that was PI, and I'm glad you got it right. But all I'm saying, TJ, is we're so upside down now that doing the right thing is the wrong thing. And that's when you know you got to get rid of a system, but you also got to have a replacement, which they don't have.
That was a great call.
Great call.
But I thought DeAndre Hopkins, when they played Baltimore, was more egregious than that, and they didn't overturn that. This is the problem. Can it be fixed? We talked about it Friday, like you said.
Yeah.
And I said it didn't need to be overhauled. I said it was some adjustments. It needs to be overhauled. You just look at the game. They changed the course. They possibly robbed Dak Prescott and the Cowboys of a chance to go down the field and win
get
the
another
game.
Field goal.
He probably, whether he would have done it or not, we don't know.
Hey,
I don't,
we had 8 minutes of proof.
We don't know.
One game, one possession.
And then that game could possibly cost Jason Garrett his job. And so.
You talking about good things. Anyway, that's a good problem.
The problem with officiating is it's hurting players and coaches and could possibly cost them. Can it be fixed? I'm with Marcel. It's human error. But they're making errors at the wrong time in crucial points. In the New England game, Dont'a Hightower was tripping before he even made contact with the second lineman. They need to be able to replay that and say, oh, that was a bad call on our part. But it needs to be overhauled.
More
like
replay.
We
There was a movie called The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm sure we all remember it.
I remember the really, dance real, more, but anyway.
Oh, no, not the dance. It was a movie where they were thrown into this maze, and it was a race who could get there, not lose their life doing it. And that's a lot like the officiating. It's not broken to be fixed. It's a part of the entertainment. It's all these different things in the Running Man movie that popped up, came out, unexpected this, unexpected that, that could derail you. It wasn't even the other opponent that could derail you on what was taking place within the game. It was the unknown. These referees provide a level of entertainment based off of the unknown. The purity of the game may be, the integrity of the game may be altered by what we look at, what these referees are calling or not calling.
Seeing these old dudes on TV is entertaining.
Yes.
Throwing flags
you would
around,
lose
changing
your mind if you were playing and this happened in a game that was important.
And somebody losing their mind provides entertainment and viewership.
It gives you the wild card. It gives you the X factor that, look, in X's and O's, there needs to still be an X factor, which is like, whoa, no matter how many ways we've seen this, or here's a stat sheet for this team, this stat sheet for this team, but there's something that you can never configure, which is
the stat sheet of the officials.
Yeah, I never know what the official's going to do for it. He has a point there. I guess
it's accountability. Tell me one time.
Look at how we got.
Tell me one time in a college meeting, because colleges have to do it if they're big enough. The pros have to do it. When they bring in the officiating crews to go through all of the rule changes.
Points of emphasis.
How many people are happy and like, oh, it's good to see you guys. Great to see the referees. Oh, these are great rule changes. Name one year when you, okay, you met with him.
I get your point.
There's never been any type of buy-in to it.
Can officiating be fixed? I'm going to tell you, yes. It can be improved, would be my point.
All right.
And the issue to me...
So it's broken.
This is where I would defend the refs. There's too much on their plate because of player safety concern. Just 25 years ago, you didn't have to worry about a lot of the things. Oh, did he lead with the crown of his helmet? Did he hit the quarterback low? There was a bunch of things that they didn't have to think about. We've put more on their plate, and they've taken nothing off their plate. Mm. Now they can get second-guessed by... Let's take some things off their plate.
Damn, Jason, that's a great point.
Holding has to be taken off. If you watch a college game...
You could call it every play.
No. If you watch a college game, they don't call holding that often.
You could call it every play.
That's not the point, though. If you watch college football, they just don't call holding the way they do in the NFL. Only you think the offensive linemen in college are just so much better than the NFL? It's like, no, we don't emphasize that.
Massive emphasis.
And again, so let's take holding. Let's let offensive linemen hold. If you want... more scoring, like they keep saying they do, and we don't. They keep coming up with all these rules, but it doesn't seem to be producing more points, particularly not this year. Let's take some things off their plate, let them concentrate on the player safety stuff and all that. If there's just less flags, the game improves. There's less frustration from fans. Mm. Again, the tripping deal yesterday is ridiculous.
But it was a trip.
No,
it was a trip.
No.
He put his leg out.
LeVar, here's my deal on the tripping
deal.
Did he trip him? Did he touch him? It's clearly an infraction.
To me, what he did was he kneed.
Where'd he touch him?
He kneed.
That ain't tripping. That is
tried.
I don't think.
You impede someone's progress using something.
2D lineman.
That's defensive lineman.
2D lineman.
No, he's a lineman.
He was a rush linebacker.
I wouldn't have got tripped. Like always that, come so at it doesn't even apply to me.
We know it. We've been in those circumstances when it's tripping and not.
To me, in order to call tripping, it needs to be the calf, ankle.
Oh, focus, huh?
You can't trip with your hip. It's more obvious than that.
The worst trip is to trip with a knee.
Yeah, I'm about to say that knee on knee bang.
They hurt. Your knee go limp, you're going to go down. But here, I like your point, and I like where you're going. But to imply can it be fixed is to say that it's broken. It's not broken.
Why are we talking about them every week?
His point is we have an accident right here, and now you're making the paramedic the mechanic. Like, pick what's more important. Is it player safety? Get this person fixed, healthy? Or is it, let's see how this looks? And sometimes the officials get into a complexion game because of points of emphasis. Every game they meet, we know it, we see them, we walk by their locker room, and they're meeting. And on the chalkboard, this is what we're going to look for. This is what we're going to emphasize. That means there's a pecking order.
Yep.
What Whitlock is saying is, let's take a couple of those things off so that there's a shorter pecking order, and then you can focus on the things that matter most that improves the game.
But you're still going to have a problem even when that list is.
Let's say they're throwing 15 flags a game. If we get it down to 10,
it's better.
That's an improvement. Less stoppage. Right now, and again, they should take all... They got to legalize whatever goes on special teams because a third of special teams plays, there's a flag. It's boring. It's terrible. So that's what I'm just saying. Just take some things off their plate. They want to call. They can have replay review and all that stuff, but just less flags, less stoppage. TJ Houshmandzadeh and LeVar Arrington are back. Let's return to Philadelphia, where a win over the Eagles yesterday made Russell Wilson the first quarterback in NFL history to lead his team to a winning record in each of his first 8 seasons. Lamar Jackson is the clear-cut favorite to win the MVP award, but with history on his side, Wilson can get back in the mix with the primetime games against the Vikings and the Rams the next 2 weeks. Question is, can Russell Wilson catch Lamar Jackson in the MVP race?
Nope. Nobody in the league is going to catch Lamar Jackson. Figuratively, literally, this dude is running away with this. The only way that this becomes a conversation that Russell Wilson or any other contender actually has a chance is if Lamar Jackson returns to the pack. He actually has to go backwards because they're not going to catch him. They're not going to outplay him because it's not going to be just based on numbers. I told y'all a long time ago, this guy has the it factor. We had this like rock star conversation, which quarterback is next? And I'm like, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the best one, but the one that could create a mania is Lamar Jackson. Who's leading Pro Bowl voting? Anybody know? Anybody know?
It's probably Lamar.
They don't vote for MVP, though.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just showing you popularity. I'm showing you what this it factor looks like in measurables.
By landslides, too.
I mean, Lamar Jackson. And it's crazy, but when you talk about what he's going to do on the field, and we'll see his primetime performance tonight. I'm wearing my purple, be in the building, rooting for Lamar Jackson. It's totally converted people like me and casual fans talk about Lamar Jackson and them. I've heard more Ravens fans say Lamar Jackson and them. And that's what's happening right now. I think it's his to lose.
It's gonna be tough because both of them have great records. But what Lamar does, everything is splashy. It catches your eye. Whereas Russell Wilson he's just steady. He's gonna get the job done. And it's almost like Steph Curry in the NBA. When he's making a lot of threes, that catches your eye. Guy's doing spectacular dunks. That's what makes the highlights. Lamar Jackson's, his plays make the highlights because it's things we haven't seen since Vic.
And MVP voters are different than
the fans. They're fans as well.
No, it's media.
They're fans as the media. They're fans as well. And so they see these splashy plays. Now, the only way he can catch him is if the Ravens as a team backslide, because they normally give it to the best player on the best team. And so if Seattle has a better record in Baltimore and the Baltimore Ravens end up taking a couple L's down the stretch, then Russell Wilson can catch him.
I don't think he's far off as it's being made to sound, for one.
Lamar's got a big lead.
I don't think it's far off. Secondly, when I look at Russell Wilson and his body of work, and for him to have never been named an MVP of the league is – I think definitely is in his – it bodes well for him. It's in his favor. You got to look at
that
body of work.
Talk.
Yeah. You got – hey, listen.
Not good.
There are a lot of guys that go to Pro Bowls and are all pros that should not be Pro Bowlers and all pros.
That
I'm
is
sure
true.
You'll agree with that.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sure
you'll
agree with
very
that.
Very true.
I'll agree with that.
I did it.
It's really based a lot upon reputation and belief in what you truly are. Now, he has been a one-season sensation. We can give him some of last year, but this is his year as a starter. There is still going to have to be a level of accomplishment by Lamar Jackson that is so you just cannot fight it.
Individual
you
or team?
It.
He's doing that.
He's going to have to finish it. He's going to have to finish
this
it.
This literally is a parallel of last year. Let me tell you about these MVP voters. Everybody, I kept telling y'all Drew Brees is not winning this award. Yeah, he is. He got the story. He's never won it before. And he's playing such a fundamental game. And look how great his numbers look. And then they voted 41-9. You only get one vote. NFL gets it right. Just vote. Who you want? Everybody can talk it up, talk it up. You got one. Oh, Patrick Mahomes. 41-9. So this year is going to sound like a little Russell Wilson. The numbers are... Man, stop. The splash effect is going to happen. This dude is like, I seen cats in high school had that trifecta. You seen it. The straight A student who is the best on the team, who also got swag. Like, that it factor makes you say, you got to get out that class.
The only thing I'll say, again, what happened to Drew Brees last year is they tripped a little bit, or he did, coming down the stretch.
He did.
And so, again, narrative and the media – and Russell Wilson has a nice little narrative.
He does.
And it can, if Lamar, again, I think TJ's right, if somehow they finish 12-4 and somehow Russell Wilson's at 13-3 and somehow won the NFC West.
He's going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
And again, I believe.
Because it'll go down like, oh, my God, he played in the same division with San Francisco and won the division. Lamar's in the AFC North. That's no Ben Roethlisberger. That's a trash Cincinnati team.
And got banged by the Browns.
And Cleveland, which is kind of a hot mess.
But they beat them.
Right. No, I get Cleveland it. But what I'm saying is people are going to sit around and say, man, this dude just won the toughest division in football.
But we got to understand, when they went head-to-head.
Uh-oh. Here come the hammer.
That's going to matter.
They went
head-to-head this year.
Mm-hmm. He went head-to-head with Brady. And he went to Deshaun.
I'm just
come on, y'all.
Media loves narrative.
And you know what?
Media loves narrative.
And deeper than the narrative is gonna be the facts. And these last 2 weeks, These have been two of his three worst ball games, Russell Wilson. So if you think about it, when the real pressure came, MVP discussion, oh, Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson, stop, they played each other. Then you see Russell Wilson and
Here's
Lamar Jackson,
where
you're
they played wrong, each
other. Marcellus. The last 2 weeks, this has not been MVP numbers by Russell Wilson.
We're in an era where narrative trumps facts. That's what the whole discussion's been going on in American society.
Not
for the
MVP
past
voting
two
last
or three
year.
Years.
Did that work with Drew Brees?
I'm gonna give you another example. Go ask Shaquille O'Neal how narrative can get in the way of your MVPs and Steve Nash stealing two of them from Shaq. By the numbers, Shaq left the NBA with one title. With one MVP. Not because he wasn't the MVP a bunch of years. He never had the right narrative. Guys like Steve Nash sneak in there. Michael Jordan,
they vote different in the NBA.
But again, it's that, media.
So
people.
Is it more of a likability thing?
No, it's not a likability. It's just media loves narrative. Again, Karl Malone stole one from Michael Jordan based off of narrative and kind of career achievement. Charles Barkley got one over off of narrative.
Not apples to apples, though. We ran with a narrative last year until they
said, he fell apart. Drew Brees fell. What we're suggesting
Russell
is...
Russell Wilson is falling apart. Nah, y'all look at these numbers.
Russ going to get the MVP of the league.
75 quarterback rating. 75.
Russell Wilson's going to get the MVP of the league.
Mike, he could. All right, coming up.
Stop that.
Uncle Jimmy's back.
There he is.
You know.
Yes, sir.
In a minute, but...
Where you been?
Who's the big dummy of the day?
Hey, man, big dummy of the day, go to the person that said, I ain't never betting against Tom Brady and the Patriots. This the same person that said, I'm going to stop dating women that can't make nothing in the kitchen but reservations. How'd that work out for you?
Not well. All right, let's talk Dak Prescott. The Cowboys quarterback is still without a big extension, and he's been waiting for. Mm. He had a big chance Sunday to cash in with a win over the Patriots, but Dak and the Cowboys fell short. Marcellus.
Yeah.
Did Dak cost himself any money yesterday?
No. Did the franchise tag change yesterday? Go get franchise, man. We know what this is. 33.4, Dak, that's what you're going to get next year. Plus, if you want to say he's not
going to get a long-term deal.
I don't think the numbers add up that way. I think the numbers suggest that they're incentivized to tagging him out, Kirk Cousins style. But even if he is going to get a long-term deal, he didn't lose money yesterday. Jerry Jones blamed everybody but Dak Prescott. So the rainy conditions, you can't really fault Dak for guys slipping.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Huh? Yeah, yeah.
Was Dak in any MVP conversations yesterday?
Yeah, he was right before the game started.
Did they kick that ball off?
Nope.
What's your take on Dak Prescott? Did he lose some money?
Hell, I don't know, man. I ain't in that man's pockets. And you don't need to be in his pockets either. What I saw last night from Dak Prescott,
yeah.
Dak looked like Otis Redding. Oh, sitting on the dock of the bay.
Oh, wow.
You know, I wish he was mic'd up. You know, if he was mic'd up last night, you'd have saw him sitting on that bench. It probably would have sounded something like this here. Let me see if I can get there. I thought it was just another football game. Then I found out it was in the freezing rain. Now 2,000 miles I've flown. And it's a long way from Jerry's home. Oh, I'm just gonna sit on the Dallas sideline, watching these crowds make fun of this behind of mine. Ooh, I'm just gonna sit on the Dallas sidelines, wasting my time.
Woo! Get that thing.
It looks like nothing's gonna change. Hey, Amari Cooper gets hurt each and every game. Now, Jason Garrett, he can't do what Jerry Jones wants him to do. So I guess this team shall remain the same. Woo! So listen here, Jerry Jones. Now we all know I know Pat Mahomes. Oh, but you gave Zeke 50 mil. And he's playing like he's just in Cabo still. Oh, so I'm gonna sit on the Dallas sideline, watching these crowds make fun of my behind. Ooh, I'm just gonna sit on these Dallas sidelines.
Okay.
I'm wasting time.
Hit the whistle.
Not that good.
You dry? Your lips dry?
Not that far now.
Lick your lips first.
I didn't see whistle in the contract.
Yeah, you should have licked your lips before you tried
that. Lick your lips
first. Well, hell.
All right, that wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. You finally got through a Dak segment without calling him Dakery Fitzgerald Prescott.
There it is.
So we didn't get any glory. That is progress.
Looks like some things will never change. Dakery Fitzgerald Prescott, you're going to always be the same. I'm sorry.
We got to go.
Let it go.
We got to get to my... I'm only dropping him 2 points in my approval rating.
Yeah.
Dropped him 2 points in job performance. He's still a role player at 67.
Yep.
I'm shocked, Marcel. How do you remain lower than me?
Yeah.
Champion Dak. I'm known as the Dak critic.
Well, because I have higher expectations for him and I believe more in him. So last time we did him, he was in MVP conversation. This is after this game where the job performance takes a little hit, even though it was raining. But he's also the authenticity. Dak knows he wants to be MVP and he knows he wants to get paid, but he's lying about both of them.
So when it was raining, did the Chargers expect you not to get sacks?
Oh, it happened. I tried to tell them before the game. Don't bet on Wiley in the rain.
The internet agrees with Scout Team 45%.